Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Good morning. I know we prayed for the moms this morning, but I'd just like to read the scripture of all the moms here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That every mom in this place and those that are online, that the Lord would bless you richly, that you'd know his peace in this time. Amen. I know Quinty prayed for me, but I'd just like to pray again. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I love you, Lord. We love you, Father. And Father, as I stand here today, Father, I'm subject to you. I'm surrendered to you, Father. And Lord, I ask that you would touch my lips, that the word I share this morning, that I release here today, Father, that you send your, that your word is alive, and that your word would be alive, and it would be life this morning. Father, I just pray for life-changing hearts, Lord, that you would touch, and that you'd move as I minister your word this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to say thank you to the worship team for some of the songs that you chose, and quite amazing. A lot of those songs go, just complement my message this morning. And we don't conspire or get together. I'm ministering this, or you must sing all these songs. It doesn't work like that. The leader gets together and he selects a song as the Lord leads him. So thank you. It just complements what the Lord's laid on my heart to release here in this place this morning. And I'm excited because God's doing something, and he's moving in our lives, and he's taking us into a new place and a new season with him. And I know Quinton mentioned about that you need to get into a life group. You really, really do need to get into a life group. The last few Fridays we've been with Brad and Eloise, the Holy Spirit has been moving, and God is doing something so awesome there. It's incredible. God is just pitching up. And he's speaking, and he's touching, and he's changing lives, and that is what he's doing here this morning. And even when we leave this place, we need to walk with Jesus, and our lives need to change constantly as we walk out and as we follow him. Amen. Is it good? Okay, great. So my message this morning, I hope you all got your Bibles open there, is follow me. Follow me. Are we following Jesus? Are we truly following him? And I pondered, and the Lord said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And I don't just want to just take something and just build on it. Because when the Lord speaks and he lays something on your heart and you prepare as he leads you on what he wants to share with you this morning, I believe that's in that place that the anointing rests upon that word, and it's in that place that he begins to work obedience. So the scripture this morning is Matthew 4:19. And the word of God says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's easy to read that scripture. Very easy to read it out here this morning. But I believe to apply it to our lives is something completely different. I believe it's a scripture in the Bible that we battle with a lot. It's a difficult scripture. Follow me. It's not easy sometimes following Jesus. I think a lot of it comes down to surrender. And there are some other areas that I just wrote down three why we don't follow the Lord. Maybe it's the distractions. We get distracted too easily. When we hear the word distraction, maybe you think, I'm working too hard, or I take too much time in sports, and I'm spending too much time behind the telly through the week. But it's not just that. It can also be that we watch, there are a lot of teaching and there are many sermons and things going on out there. You can so easily be drawn away by that. But what is the Lord saying to you? What is God speaking to you about? Those are areas where women of God out there, God has spoken to them. And often at times they've had a revelation of Jesus, but they take that and they put it down in paper. And we're reading all those things. But I'm asking you today, what is he saying to you? Not willing to pay the price. Sure. To follow Jesus, there's a price to be paid. And maybe sometimes that price, it's too great. The price is too great. Or maybe we've become too comfortable. I've become too comfortable and things are so lacquer right now. And it's so easy and I'm just flowing and it's nice. Don't rock the boat. I'm happy the way things are. And it's easy to get into that place. I've been there where things are going so lacquer. So what does the word follow? I just looked it up in the dictionary. The word follow and the word make. What does the word follow mean? Quite interesting. It says to go. It says to come after. To engage, to accept as authority. To come into existence. Sequence or order. It means to copy. To imitate. To watch steadily. To watch steadily. The word follow means to watch steadily. I love this one. To watch steadily. It means to look on with intent. And then the word make. What does the word make? We often read these things, follow and make and all this. The word make. It means to form. It means putting together. Bringing into existence. By shaping. And a means to produce. Wow. So Jesus wants us to follow him so that all these things can take place in our lives, to bring it into existence. So when he said to Peter and Andrew and the other disciples, follow me, Jesus was actually inviting them to start a relationship with him. He was first calling them into a relationship and then making them into something different, to move from self-centered to other-centered and God-centered. Jesus was connecting them to God and to each other. We want what the word says, but we don't have that relationship. I want what the word says, but I don't have the relationship with my Father. My relationship is not as it's supposed to be. I become who I'm spending time with. What are you chasing after? What you chase after, you become. Yeah. Intimacy, I believe for every one of us here today and for the body of Christ, is the key going forward. If I'm not in a place of intimacy with Holy Spirit, with my Father, I promise you not, you're not going to follow. You're not going to follow the Lord. And then I can't give what I don't have. I cannot give what I don't have. God can only be known by revelation. And God's ways can only be known through submission. Revelation and submission. Follow me. Follow me. With submission comes obedience. Yeah. If I'm submitted to my Lord Jesus Christ and I'm following him, obedience comes. And I become obedient to what he's asking me, what he's talking to me about. And it becomes easier in my walk and my following of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 3:6. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold. I have no silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Just previously I said, if you haven't got anything, I can't give what I don't have. They gave what they had. They gave Jesus. What are you filling yourself with this morning? What are you filling yourself with? So what is needed in the body of Christ? What is needed in the church right now? What is needed? What do you feel is needed? I know we can change, cosmetically we can change a lot of things in this building. We can paint. Or maybe we can have some new programs running in the church. Or maybe we can kit out the worship team with some new guitars and maybe even bigger speakers and some new songs. I can preach a great message to you, an hour-long message. But if there is no anointing, it's going to be an empty, dry message. Yeah. I cannot give to you what I don't have. I can try and fix it in the natural. Yeah. And that's it. Everything we do flows out of anointing. Everything we do flows out of a place of anointing. Do you believe that? Yeah. Everything we do, it needs to be like that. Must flow out of a place of anointing, not a dry place, not a place I don't have anything and I'm trying to make it work. And I want you to picture a sponge, and I take a sponge, this big sponge, and I put it in water. I just let it saturate. I leave it in there, just saturate, and just soaks up all the water. When I pull it out of the water, it's heavy, but the water's running, it's running, and it's dripping. and it's full. And our lives need to should be like that. And when I'm following Jesus, it's going to be like that. Yeah. So everything about kingdom purpose and destiny, everything about kingdom purpose and destiny flows out of intimacy. Yeah. It flows out of intimacy. Jesus said, I will send you Holy Spirit. And he will what? He will show you and teach you all things. Now, he will show you and teach you all things. I will send you the Holy Spirit and he'll show you and teach you all things. Let's go to the upper room. I want to go to the upper room. How many people were in the upper room at that time? All the disciples. How many number would you say were there? 120. There were 120 in the upper room. And something interesting. It says in the Word of God. Let's read Acts 13. Let's go to Acts. Acts 13. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas and Bartholomew. Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. I'm just going to just turn to it quickly in my... I want to go on to verse 14. It's the next verse after that. All of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. They were devoting themselves to prayer, and they were all in, what does the word say? One accord. What does the word devoting mean? It means giving all, giving of one's time and resources. So I want to ask you, the word says yeah, that we need to pray. And I want to challenge you as a congregation here this morning, as God's people, as his chosen people, that we need to start praying. Yes, we can come together and we pray together on a Wednesday. But I want to ask you, every moment that you have, the time that you have, put that television away, take it and go and lock it and put it in a cupboard somewhere. Pray. When you get home, pray. When you get out of the bath, pray. When you finish your supper, pray. Husbands and wives, pray. Come together and pray. And it says that they were in one accord. And when we start praying as a people, and when the body of Christ is in one accord, when we are moving as one before him, what does the word say? Say, commands a blessing. When we are praying, when we are standing together as a people, yeah, and we are praying, and when we are in one accord, we're going to see God move in our lives and in this place like never before. Yeah. So I challenge you today to pray. Let's pray. Let's stand united as the body of Christ and let's pray. A few years ago, I was wanting the Lord to speak to me. Lenny and I, both of us, wanted the Lord to speak to us. And we took a time to pray. And when I got home, we would eat and Lynn would get out of behind the piano and Lynn would worship and we would pray. And we did it for 3 weeks. And then God started to speak to us. He pitched up one evening in our lounge. And and he spoke to us. And it went on for 3 days. So I want to encourage you, start praying. One accord. We become one with Jesus when we pray. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. But the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. He longs to teach us and to reveal to us the depths of God's word, so that we might learn what it is to be a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Even the depths of God. I'm going to read 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Are we willing to appear foolish where the world does not understand the wisdom of God? God's going to call on you. He's going to ask you to do things that might seem foolish to the world out there. Yes. But to have the courage and to step out and do it. Are we willing to live wholeheartedly for the pleasure of the Heavenly Father over the opinions of man? The Holy Spirit revealed to you in a way only He can. When you read the Word of God, that it would reveal that Word in a way that only He can. We can preach the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that unlocks it and He reveals it. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants to unlock. He wants to unlock you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. We all know that scripture. Yeah? Some of you are nodding your heads there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will what? Make your path straight. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. John 1:27. Sorry, 1 John. I just love the scripture. but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has been taught you, abide in him. He teaches you all things, and also to abide in him, to live in him. So we need to choose to be a student of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We need to choose to be a student of the Holy Spirit. We choose to follow what he reveals to you, to be wisdom over the ways of the world. We choose his opinion over man's opinion. We spend time studying the scripture with Holy Spirit. Pray and ask Spirit what he wants to show you. I know many a times the guys have preached behind you to take the word of God and to study it. Yes, study it and let God speak to you through it. Just go over it and over it again. Now, too often we just read and we glance over it. 5 minutes later, we've forgotten what we've read because that thing's not in our heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, to unlock and to show you what he's speaking to you about through that scripture, through that word. I just love this. The word of God says that he is our teacher. Psalms 32 verse 8. Psalms 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way that he should choose. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I can't be a fisherman if I've rubbed out the first few words of that scripture. Follow me. If it's all that you hear this morning, when you leave this place, these words, follow me, and the Lord will build in that in your life. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So if I said to you this morning the word go, follow me, go. I know the first thing that comes to your mind, the first thing that comes to your mind is your there's a lot of doing to be done here. Yeah. We often associate going with doing. We equate Jesus' call to go with do. The Lord equates go with be. Yeah, he equates go with be. We can do plenty. We can do plenty of things. A lot of stuff. But without the be, it's worthless. Yeah. The doing and the being. I be first, and then I do. He will lead us into a life of wisdom, understanding, and revelation. That is what we need. Wisdom, understanding, and revelation. The word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit can only have power in our lives if we are following their leadership principles. So what am I saying to you today? A little while ago, we shared on the ordinary for the extraordinary, because he is an extraordinary God. When we follow him and we take steps of faith, the extraordinary, we begin to see the extraordinary unfold and work in and through us. Brady was minister on the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. Mark mentioned Holy Spirit. He preached on the Holy Spirit. And when Brady was minister on the Holy Spirit, he said these words: "We all have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you?" Yeah. We all have the Holy Spirit, but does he have you? We want to see God, Holy Spirit moving. We want to see the miracles. I do. Do you want that? Yes. Yes. I long to see that. Then we need to get up and move. We need to start moving with the Lord, Holy Spirit. We need to start moving. When we follow him, obedience comes. And it's not God following us. I think that's also a big problem. We want God to follow us. Lord, I'm doing this, all this stuff, and please, don't you want to come along and just follow me and just bless me and what I'm doing? And when nothing works out and things are dry and we cry out, Lord, but he's over there and we're over here somewhere. So I'm going to give you an example. Peter was getting to know the Lord. When Jesus called him, he was getting to know him. And Jesus said to him, "Peter, get into the boat, step out into the deep, and let out your nets." And yes, he cried out, "Lord, but I've fished all night. I've been fishing all night. I'm tired. I've been fishing. There's no fish there. Nothing." But in obedience, he was obedient. Because he was getting to know the Lord. He was walking with the Lord. He was obedient. Okay. "Nevertheless, at your word." He got into the boat. He set out into the deep. And they put out the nets. What happened? Yeah. Yes. They caught all these fish. So what happened there? What actually happened there? It was a supernatural event. That was a supernatural event. Something supernatural happened there because you were obedient. I can go out there and I can fish and I'm doing all these things. Yo, nothing's happening. Why isn't anything happening? I'm fishing and I'm doing all, nothing's happening. Maybe it's because we're doing it out of our own. And then we give up and we don't want to do anything anymore because it didn't work then. But, Lord, at your word, obedience comes when I'm following Jesus. Because he says, "Follow me," and then he says, "I will make you." And when we follow him, I become like Jesus. I become like him. Like we said earlier, what you follow after, you become. Yeah. I want to look at it from another angle, touch on another point. When we settle for too long, we become enslaved. Yeah. When we settle for too long in a place, we become enslaved. Yes, I've seen it in my own life. We see in many cases where there's been a move of God, or God has done something, and with the church or the body, we've held on to it, and we've stopped there, and we've built, and we've tried to add on to that instead of following Jesus all the time. And we settle, and the Lord's moved on. And we can't figure out why nothing's happened, because Jesus, he's moved. He's always moving. And we need to be following. When Moses was leading the people through the desert, they would set up the tent and they would tabernacle with the Lord. And the Lord would pitch up and they would meet with the Lord in the tent, the tent of meeting. So I want to ask you, if Moses built a temple there, what would have happened? Would the people have settled? Would they have settled there? Yeah. Because when God spoke and they knew that, they had to start moving. They would take everything down and they would follow and they would start moving. So what I'm saying to you is that not to settle. And maybe you have settled. Let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. He led them into Egypt because there was a famine in the land. There was starvation and they needed food, and he led them into Egypt. And it was a time of blessing. But eventually it became a place of slavery. God, Holy Spirit, is always moving, and we need to be following. We need to be following. And like I said, when we started the message, it's not easy. It isn't. And it isn't easy when we're trying to do it in our own strength. I'm doing it my way, and then I'm coming back. We've got to follow Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We can't let what was determine our future. We've got to walk with Holy Spirit in this season. In this season. So as I was preparing through the week, the Lord showed me something. And he spoke to me about it, and I believe it's for the body of Christ. And I'd like to share that with you. I could ask you to close your eyes. Thank you, Father. And just to picture what he wants to share with you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So as I was preparing, the Lord opened my eyes to see. And I saw all these boats on the water. There were boats and there were ships on the water. And then I could hear the wind started to blow. And it blew and it got stronger. And it blew and it got stronger. It kept getting stronger. And it was blowing and it was blowing. And the water started to move. And then I looked at the boats. It took me back to the boats and to the ships that were on the water. And they were bouncing about on the water. But there was no movement. They were not moving. And I feel what the Lord is saying. What is the anchor in your life that has kept you from moving with Holy Spirit? Those boats were not moving because they were anchored. They couldn't. What is the anchor in your life that has prevented you from moving with Holy Spirit? That thing needs to be lifted or cut off. So when the wind of the Spirit begins to blow upon your life, that you can move and that the Holy Spirit can blow wind into your sails so that you can go into the place and what He's asking and what He's calling you to do. Father, I ask and I pray today that You'd reveal that to us, Lord. What the anchor is in our lives, Lord, that is preventing us from following You. And Father, I know that in the season, that right now, that the wind of Your Spirit is blowing in this place and in the people's lives, Lord, in our homes, that the wind of Your Spirit is blowing, Father. It is blowing, Father. Father, I want to say thank You for the suddenlies in our lives, the suddenlies in this place, as we seek You and follow after You, the suddenlies of God. I thank You, Father, for the miraculous in our lives, Lord, as we would move and preach Your word to the lost, as we would follow You, Father, that we would see the miraculous, the outworking of Your Spirit in our lives like never before, Lord. That You haven't called us to a dry walk, but You've called us to a walk saturated in You, intimate with You, Father. I can only give what I have. And You've called us to give Jesus. You've called us to release You. You've called us, Father, to release heaven here on earth. And we can only do it when we are in a place of intimacy with You and following You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We love You, Father. We love You, Lord. We know that without You, what would we be? Without You, Father, we are nothing. We are nothing, Father. We are like dry twigs. We are nothing, Lord. It's You. It's You, Father. It's You, Lord. So, Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this opportunity that You've given me to share Your word. And, Father, I pray that as we leave this place this morning, that You'd speak to us, that You'd keep speaking to us, that You'd open our eyes to see, and Lord, that You'd reveal that which has kept us behind in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Quinton.